Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The meditation is based upon the word of God as we find recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, where in chapter 9, we read in verses 57 to 62 as follows. And as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, Follow me. But he said, Permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, Allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. And another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus, who many years ago uttered these words, my dear Christian friends, the last journeys of our Lord to Jerusalem are a distinctive feature of the Gospel according to St. Luke. Beginning at 51 and going through chapter 19 to verse 28, we have what has been called the great travel narrative of Luke. Some of those instances in these 10 chapters are also found in some of the other Gospels. But for the most part, those 10 chapters are unique in what they tell us about those events which transpired about a half a year before our Lord's final captivity and crucifixion and death in Jerusalem. We do not know who the people were who volunteered to follow our Lord. We do not know what their responses were. But yet I think you'll have to admit that here we have three statements about discipleship which are just as apropos today after 1900 years as when they were first spoken in the early 20s or beginning of the 30s. These answers and these statements by our Lord will give us an opportunity to examine ourselves. We find here that Jesus condemns false discipleship. He condemns rashness, insincerity, and indecision on the part of those who would be his followers. The first man who was invited, he volunteered to become a follower of Jesus unconditionally and said, I will go wherever you go. I will follow you wherever you go. That was certainly a very desirable answer because many people to whom our Lord had been preaching never thought of giving that kind of response to the message of our Lord. And yet there was something about this answer of which Jesus knew that it was spoken in rashness. You have to imagine the situation. Jesus is now heading northward. Large multitudes are following him. And this man becomes all excited and in a emotional response, he says, I'll go wherever you go. And yet the Lord says to him that the foxes have places where they can live and dwell, and the birds have places where they can roost and produce young ones, but the Son of Man does not have where to lay his head. Now that does not mean that Jesus was a pauper, because we know from the Gospels that our Lord was taken care of by people who loved him. Women ministered unto him. But he did tell him that he did not own any property. And this was therefore a warning to this man that he was not really making an evaluation of what it would cost for him to be a true follower of our Lord. Our Lord would have us realize this morning that in order to be a member of his kingdom, we have to take upon ourselves his cross. He wants us to realize that being a Christian involves running a vigorous race that will require a lot of stamina. He wants us to realize that as a soldier of Jesus Christ, we will have to receive wounds and face difficulties. He would have us realize that the task of being a Christian will involve self-denial. How often does it not happen that a person in great enthusiasm becomes a member of Christ's kingdom and is all enthusiastic about the message, but then as time goes on, his enthusiasm wanes, and eventually he turns back upon the Lord Jesus Christ, having not really evaluated what it would be involved for him to really see this thing through unto the end. The second man to whom Jesus spoke, and Jesus invited him, "Follow me." And this man responded by saying, "Permit me first to go and bury my father." Now that seems like a reasonable request. After all, does not the Bible say, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long upon the earth"? Is it not God's will that we should respect our parents? Certainly, giving our father his last rites would certainly be a part of that honor and respect due to him. And yet our Lord saw something in that man which made him realize that this was spoken out of insincerity. There are many different explanations which have been given for this, what has been sometimes called a difficult statement. Some said that this man that his father was not at all dead, but that he was saying, "Only after my father dies and I have taken care of matters, then I will come and follow thee." Others have explained it in saying, well, here our Lord is emphasizing that he was simply using this as an excuse, because the Lord was placing upon him and laying upon him a higher duty even than burying his father. He says, "Let the bury the dead, the spiritually dead, bury their dead." But here he is now on his way to Jerusalem. He needs workers. He needs proclaimers of his message. And it is more important for that man, Jesus says, to follow him immediately and leave everything behind. So we should realize from this that the kingdom of God should have our priority. Situations may arise in our lives when Jesus must be given the preference over family ties and over blood relationships. Did not Jesus once say that he had come to set a father against his son, a mother against her daughter, and those of one's own family against him? Because it meant taking a total stand, giving the Savior a total commitment. And we Christians, by our actions and by our words, should testify that we have one important goal, namely that is the other world, and that there is no more important message that anyone can proclaim than the message of eternal life and the necessity of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. And anything which would ultimately interfere with that, our wives, our children, our relatives, have to be put aside if we are going to give the Lord Jesus our total commitment. The third person spoke to Jesus and said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home." Here was a man who had considered the cost. He was sincere, but he lays down a condition. He says, "First of all, I'd like to go back home and say goodbye to everybody." But what he was thereby indicating was that he was having a divided mind. He wished to delay. And of course, this is a very common sin that people say, "Yes, I want to be a Christian, I want to be a believer, but I haven't got time right now. When I get older, I will take care of this matter." And I'm sure sometimes we also feel that way in doing the kingdom work, that we realize that we should do it wholeheartedly, that we should put all our energy into it, but we'll say, well, a little later, when it's more convenient, we will do this. And Jesus said to this man, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I'm sure that today there are many people in the ministry of whom our Lord would say, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We read today in the literature that more and more individuals are leaving the clergy ranks, and it would seem that many of them have not counted the cost. They have not entered the ministry with a total commitment, realizing that material advantages and glory are not the reason for being a minister, but the only reason and the only one which is acceptable with our Father in heaven, with our Savior, is that we put everything aside, that having counted the cost, we now go forward no matter what problems may arise. God grant that as we have heard this remarkable word of God, that our response to become Christians was not a rash one, that we have thought it out, that it has not been insincere, that there are no conflicting interests in our lives which would prevent us from doing the task that God would want us to 100%. And may we be obedient to this call to the nth degree, namely to follow Jesus and to pay the cost wherever it will take us. So may rashness, insincerity, and decision not be a part of our response to the Lord. And if it is the one that our Savior wants, and someday we're going to hear those wonderful words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the rest of your Lord. Amen. And may the peace of God which passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.